Hello, this is Michael Steed from Kaplan Financial, and in this podcast, I'm going to be talking about the budget scheme announced in 2009 in respect of cash for old bangers. In the budget, the Chancellor attempted to kickstart the motor industry by introducing a car scrappage scheme. So, anyone with a car that's registered before July the 31st, 1999, that's a T-plate, will get a cash incentive of £2,000 to trade in their old vehicle for a brand new one. So where does the money come from? A total of £1,000 will come from the government and the remaining £1,000 from car companies themselves, with people participating being able to buy any new vehicle, including small vans, rather than just the low pollution green models that the environmentalist had hoped for. About £300 million has been put aside by the government to fund the scheme, which came into effect in mid-May, and it will last until the grant runs out or March of 2010, whichever comes first, and it's expected that some 300,000 consumers will be able to benefit. There were the usual comments for and against the scheme. The AA, for example, broadly welcomed it, saying that drivers would be pleased with this. But car companies had been hoping that the government would foot the entire £2,000 bill, and environmental groups, on the other hand, had hoped that it would be a green car scheme. It's worth pointing out that if every 10-year-old vehicle were replaced with today's equivalent, the upside is that we'd see a considerable increase in fuel efficiency and some 30% decrease in CO2 emissions. There's also a hidden safety angle. Today's vehicles are much safer than 10-year-old vehicles, and so the consumers would hopefully welcome such a scheme. But let's look at that more closely. Currently, a lot of cars are still on the road at 10 years old. Indeed, the RAC reckons that at 14 years old, half of them are still on the road. So the scrappage scheme, arguably, risks and consigning a lot of perfectly good and actually relatively nice cars to the dustbin. Speaking personally, one of our family cars is a Mondeo on an R-plate. It's done well over 100,000 miles, we've had it for a long time, and I've got no intention of scrapping that. So, what else do I need to know about this scheme? The first thing is that owners of cars registered before the magic date of the 31st of August must have owned the car for at least 1 year. And remember, they're trading this in for a brand new car. Can't be one that's been around for a year or so. It's got to be brand new, car or van, that's ordered from one of the participating dealerships. You need to remind yourself, too, that the vehicle must have a valid MOT, but only when the new car is ordered. And there must be a registration address in the UK. Remind yourself as well that registration is not the same as ownerships. But car dealerships have been swift to respond to this scheme, and there's clear evidence that dealers have removed the earlier special deals, thus increasing the price considerably, so when a punter comes along, it's knocked down by £2,000, it's going to be pretty much the same price as the car was before the budget announcements. Now, what about the tax, which is what we've really come to talk about? Revenue and Customs has actually issued a new business brief. It's Business Brief 31 of 09. Let's think about the VAT. For VAT purposes, the manufacturer is in effect discounting the price by £1,000. Now, if you cast your mind back to a very famous European VAT case called Elida Gibbs, this means that the manufacturer is entitled to reduce the amount of output tax he has to pay on the sale of the car to the dealership by the VAT fraction on £1,000, which effectively means that for every car sold down to the dealerships under this scheme, his output tax is going to be reduced by about £130. Incidentally, the contribution paid by the government has no impact on either the manufacturer or the participating dealer. It's a payment that is simply outside the scope of VAT. It's worth noting that for the dealers, the people who are actually selling the cars to the punters, the £2,000 paid in subsidy makes absolutely no difference whatsoever for either direct tax or VAT purposes. They're in effect still selling a car for £10,000. It's just that £8,000 comes from the punter and £2,000 comes from somewhere else. So for them, they've still made a supply with a value of £10,000. A couple of last thoughts. What's the tax position for the buyers? Well, as you'd expect, it's pretty much business as usual. As far as the capital allowances are concerned, they will be claimed on the net cost. So if you buy a £10,000 car and you've had £2,000 contributed to it, you are claiming capital allowances on the £8,000. As far as the VAT is concerned, it's normal recovery rules. What goes out determines what comes in. So in most circumstances where you've got private use elements, there will be no recovery of VAT. There is, however, recovery in limited circumstances, for example for taxes, self-drive, hire vehicles, and those vehicles with no private use whatsoever. And we all know how difficult it is to get vehicles into that last category. So, to conclude, who is actually going to benefit from this move? Given that only 15% of the cars bought in the UK are actually made here, it's pretty clear that the beneficiaries are going to be producers of small high-volume cars, most of which are imported from the rest of Europe, if not further afield. And it's also, and here a slightly cynical note, worth remembering that the increase in fuel duty, which is going up by 2% in September, will more than cover the scheme's costs, and effectively means that the government is robbing Peter to pay Paul. So, we'll just have to see how the scheme runs, and we need a few months to run over us to test its impact. Cheerio.